With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you, who have the final say, this is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the free, radio.com. I appreciate you hanging out. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, inside the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Leroy Butler, Hall of Fame finalist. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well. And now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, this man ran your Milwaukee Brewers into some of the best years of Brewers baseball in this town. Former general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers, Doug Melvin, joining the program here today. Doug, appreciate the time. Hope, first off, everybody's safe wherever you're calling us from.
Yeah, everybody's good, and I'm listening to what we're supposed to be doing. I'm staying at home, so... great to have me on the show. You guys are really digging deep in the recycle bin to have me on.
Stop it.
Doug, we were thinking about it the other day. We were playing some of you introducing Craig Counsell as the newest manager of the Milwaukee Brewers way back in 2015. And it's crazy to think now Craig is the longest tenured manager in the National League. Just how, when you go back to that decision, what comes back into your mind?
Well, yeah, I saw that in spring training, and it was a little surprising. But no, Craig, when Craig left the field, he wanted to be in a position. I kept asking him, "You want to be in a position of where you can have an impact on a club?" And he wasn't quite sure at the time. I had him in the front office for a year and a half, and you know, I knew at some point that I was going to transition into a lesser role, and it was time to turn it over to somebody. And then you know, the managerial position was still, Ron Reneke was still in place, so he wasn't exactly sure, but he worked in the front office a year and a half, and I think it really helped him so he could take what he understood upstairs in, you know, player transactions and how people work, and to understand, have a better feel for that when he's down on the field. Or the other thing is that being a manager, a tough job down there, but I think in the end he just said he had made a decision between the two, and when I made the change with Ron, I went and asked him again, and he said he was ready at that particular time. He said, "I belong in a uniform," and I told him he could wear the uniform and come to the office if he wanted to, but he didn't want to do that. That wouldn't look very good. So I knew where he wanted to be, and that he's done a great job.
Hey, man, Doug, said that to the Green Bay Packers, but they didn't hire me. I belong in a uniform.
You wear a uniform? Do you wear a uniform into work there every day?
Yeah.
You no, only Pick and Save is where he wears his uniform into. Otherwise he locks up into a Giannis t-shirt.
Yeah. It'd be nice. But, Doug, I really wanted to say something about, well, nice meeting you and your wife. You guys are great people. But I like the fact that you took a chance on him because he didn't have managerial experience. And I think that's what we were hearing back then. Well, why would you get a guy with no, especially at the Ron Reneke, you know, get somebody with more experience in the smallest market, but you took a chance and it was the right chance. I just appreciate the fact that somebody has to give somebody in America a chance. And I just appreciate that.
Well, I'm a big believer in giving people opportunities and even second chances and third chances in this business that we're in, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball. But No, Craig had the one thing. He had 16 years. He had 4 World Series rings. Anybody you ever talked to, he was the best teammate. He was one of the best teammates anybody ever had. And in his role as a player, he had some years where he was a full-time player, but in his role later on as a part-time player, he was watching and understanding the game from the dugout. He was already managing in his own mind probably his last 2 or 3 years of playing. And I think that all helped him to be able to step in and manage, without that experience of going to the minor leagues. And I think the other thing is, and this is one of the biggest things, is I think he had the respect of players. And it was time that to give someone who the players, he wasn't too far away from a lot of the players that were coming along in the game. They knew who Craig Counsell was. They were familiar with him. He's an easy story to talk about. And he deserved that chance, and it's turned out well for the Brewers.
Hey, Doug, when you were general manager, how much interaction, say, did you have day-to-day with the lineup, roster decisions, and stuff like that versus the manager that you may have had in the dugout at that time?
Yeah, I didn't. I sort of left it up to the managers, but I would have a daily discussion with the managers, coaches. I never went down after games. And I think today things change. As in every sport or every business, things change. But I never, ever went down after games to talk to the manager. I always waited until the next day. I always felt if they won, let the players enjoy winning. And if they lost, they didn't need another grumpy face down there to just rehash why we lost the game. That can be done the next day. I just wasn't comfortable doing that after games that night. But as far as lineups go and that, the managers would suggest it to me, whether it was Ned or whether it was Ron, whether Ken Mock, whatever. They suggest lineups, but I would let them do it. And if I felt that it wasn't working, I would suggest to them, I'd say, hey, what about trying this? Or I would strongly, and I would then I'd go the next time, and I would say, I strongly suggest this. Let's give this a try. And that, but I never, ever forced them to do it in that regard. But we always had discussions. When you're playing baseball, you're there at the ballpark every day, so you had those discussions and that. But I never did that. And I know the game's changed today. Same as pitching. You're starting pitching that. We always had the discussions, but the game, I always felt that the bullpens are run differently today, but the game dictates how you're going to use your bullpen a lot of times. You'd like to have the best plan ever and say, this guy's the fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning. But the game will dictate what the manager has to do in that particular time. So I you have to trust the guy you hire, or you shouldn't hire him.
Right. Sure. And Doug, though, how difficult is it, though? I mean, you're in one of the smallest markets. And to try to keep players and pay players and try to keep everything in line, how difficult is it to try to form a team around that? You saw the Brewers. They just paid Christian Yelich a lot of money. Then they're trying to build around that and still trying to keep a competitive team. How tough is that to do?
Yeah, it's tough in this market. But, you don't ever want to use the market as an excuse in that, because we have the great best fans in sports. They come out here every year and support us. But it was tough. You know, when I was general manager, And I want to applaud Mark Attanasio, David Stearns, the council, and everybody, and Christian Yelich for taking that step and staying here, because it was well needed by this organization, by this franchise, well needed. But I went through a period where every free agent we had left us, from Carlos Lee to Zach Greinke to CC Sabathia to Prince Fielder to Francisco Cordero. Every one of those players left us and went on and became the highest paid player at that position. Prince was the highest paid first baseman. Carlos Lee became the highest paid left fielder. Greinke was the highest paid right-handed. Cordero, the highest paid reliever. So they left us to become that. And you just sort of, after a while, and Sabathia, the highest paid left-handed pitcher. But you understand that after a while, after losing Carlos Lee there earlier on. And then I remember I was in the office, and Mark Attanasio was in the office at the time, and we were talking about Carlos Lee, and we thought, we have a chance to sign him. He really liked Milwaukee. Liked playing here. We were starting to play better. He was a big cog in the middle of our lineup. And so I said to Mark, Mark, I'm getting some teams calling about trading for him. We can either trade for him if we think we can, or keep him if we think we can sign him. But I said, let's take one shot. So I called the agent, Adam Katz, and said, Adam, we're going to give you our best bullet here. I offered him 5 years at $11 million a year, which is $5 million or 5 years, $11 million a year, $55 million. And I said, if you could let us know in the next 48 hours, then we can make a decision from an organizational standpoint. He called back in 30 minutes, and I said, Mark, come on in. I said, Adam's calling back. He called back in 30 minutes and said, Doug, you aren't even close. And so I traded him by midnight that night, because I just felt that if that ever got out in the media that he turned down 5 years of that, it would be very difficult to get the trade package that you would want. But he was right. He got $100 million from Houston. We weren't close. We had $55 million on the table.
Oh, my goodness.
He got $100 million, so we weren't close. But, it was tough at that time. But those are the challenges of being a general manager and running a baseball franchise.
Former Brewers general manager, now senior analyst for the club, Doug Melvin joining the Wendy's Big Show. El Caballo, one of my favorites growing up. But also, I mean, you brought up Prince Fielder and even the CC Sabathia move. Doug, when you look back at those moments before making the deal for CC and then the 3 months that ensued after and the playoff drought being broken in 26 years, what goes back, what headspace are you in when you think of where you were on July 6th when you made that deal official with Cleveland?
Well, that was pretty exciting, and I think we went into it thinking that we had a chance for him, and I think we were going to surprise a lot of people. I'm not sure everybody thought that when CC was going to be available that the Brewers were a team, because it just wasn't part of the history over the past, over the previous 10, 12 years or so, 15 years, but it was probably one of the highlights, obviously, of my 20 years as a general manager career, and it was a short period of time, a few months. And the reason it was is because it meant so much to the city of Milwaukee at that time, because had they gone to the playoffs since 82, which is a long drought, 25 years. And it just meant so much to the franchise. But when he walked in the clubhouse, you know, we weren't just getting a left-handed pitcher. We got a great leader and basically said, come on, guys, let's go have fun for that 3 months, and we did. We really did, and he fit in really well with a good group of young players at the time, and, it was one of the highlights. 2011 was obviously a big highlight, too, but from a player acquisition, that stands out for me, the trading of Sabathia.
You know, you talk about CC Sabathia coming here and the momentum that carried. I mean, he was immortal, obviously, in the second half of that season. Gary and I were talking about it the other day, having that party at the Summerfest grounds before he even played a playoff game. I mean, that has to be unheard of across Major League Baseball. To do what the Brewers did and the fans that showed up were remarkable as well. Can you talk about that whole experience?
Yeah, you know, it just, he captivated the city, you know, and that, and he was, you know, Milwaukee's a community that when you have players that stand up like CC does or like Giannis does, and that they grasp those players, and you know, the players enjoy playing here. But anything we did that year in 2008 was just exciting, and we didn't play all that well in the month of September. We didn't hit it all that well, and we just sort of rode on CC's back. But you know, when he went through town, I usually go to the ballpark and I'd come home at night, but I could feel the excitement driving home at night out to Mequon, and driving home at night after a win. You could feel the excitement leaving the ballpark every night after we had acquired CC. But, you know, I understand that he went and he would tend bar at a few of the bars down there, which was good. And there's a place called Joe Cat's that my kids always went to with their friends. And I told them if we ever got to the playoffs that I would go into Joe Cat's and act like an idiot, which I did. And so I went into Joe Katz, which I hadn't been. It was out of bounds because it was where my kids went, who are adults now, and went with all their friends, and a lot of Brewers employees went there. But after getting into the playoffs in 08 and winning, finally getting there, I decided to back what I said and went to Joe Katz.
So, Doug, was that straight from the field? Because you guys started the celebration there in 08 with all the fans right on the dugout, too.
Yeah, there was champagne in the body when I got there, and it was good. It was fun, but you know, it was the experience of seeing the fans and the excitement, and that's what you enjoy. Hey, we all get excited. We try to do it behind closed doors. We don't show as much excitement. I'm not one to show a lot of excitement, but that year I did. I sort of acted a little silly at times, but it was because it was contagious, I guess, from the fan base we had, and just very exciting.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something to you about opportunities. I remember we worked it out where you let me come to your office and do a sit-down interview, so I was very grateful for that. But my question is, what does the analytics department, or what people believe in the numbers and the old-time baseball thinking of maybe eye tests? Or is it you just need a guy on third base to hit 280, you need a guy at second base to hit 275, this guy hits 300. Is it all just analytics, or you still need the scouting department to see what they see in the field part of the game?
Well, I think you need both of them, and I think they're both very helpful. I do think that having the eye test is very important, because the part about baseball, or part about any sport, is the development and growth of the human body, and how an individual at 18 years old is not the same person when he's 23 years old. And that's why you have to watch the player. And the other thing is, I was reading, I got a lot of time I spent in my basement going through notes and stuff. But Leroy had an old NFL general manager, and I had gotten some notes from him at one point, and he said what the most important thing is seeing a player against comparable players. I'd rather see a player perform against a comparable player one time than to see him perform seven times on his video, and that. Mm. And I think that's where the eye test comes in, is you just see players grow. Look at Giannis, how the player he is today, you know. And I stay in touch with John Hammond quite a bit and everything. And you know, I was wondering if the Bucks at the time, if they would have tanked or something those years and got the top three picks, would they have taken Giannis?
No,
I don't know.
Probably
that.
Not. Yeah.
No chance.
Probably
no.
Not. And no. You know, when teams tank, you tank to think you're getting the best player. But I don't think if they would have tanked and that year and gotten the top three or four or five picks, they wouldn't have taken Giannis. And he was probably a risky player. But John Hammond had the eye and the nerve to take him. I guess we could say I use other terms, but the nerve to
fortitude.
Take him.
Fortitude.
Yeah. To take him at that particular time at the 15th pick, and he's turned out to be a wonderful player. And well, I remember when Jack Zirinczyk took Prince Fielder, and that was before I came here. There is all kinds of people that I remember. Oakland, in the Moneyball book, it said, wow, what a mistake the Brewers did in taking Prince Fielder. So I do believe you still have to look at the players, because Prince was a 17-year-old kid. And, you know, can he play at a higher level of competition? Because Aaron Rodgers is another one. Because you just have to see, and everybody has to stick their neck out there on certain players at times. And the numbers are good, because the numbers do show trends in the game. Trends maybe of a player, is he losing some ability or not? And I think it's very good to have them both. I do think that you see a lot with the eye, and I think you have all the numbers to either confirm what a scout maybe sees or to go against what a scout sees. So I think they're both very good to have, and if they're utilized right, and David Stearns has utilized both aspects well enough to go out there and play, have back-to-back playoffs. So, and Craig's very good at it too. Craig looks at the numbers. He knows how they work. But he also knows, he's been around long enough to know that it's important to use the eye. For example, Craig Counsell got a 16-year career. Somebody out there saw Craig Counsell and saw what he could do and saw how he played the game and how he went about his business playing the game and how the little things he did in playing the game. Maybe Craig Counsell doesn't get that opportunity, but somebody, some manager, coaches, and scouts saw the year in and year out what Craig Counsell could do, and he had a nice big league career.
Hey, Doug, when you talk about it from that perspective, what about when you start putting trade packages together? Obviously, we talked about Sabathia, but like the Greinke deal, which essentially some would say would help build the Royals into the World Series team they were for a couple of years, with Lorenzo Cain and Escobar and those guys that went over in that deal. How does that whole process work as far as figuring out you and your scouts and front office as far as what players you're willing to put in, what players you're not willing to put in? Because obviously, you know, front office opinions are probably a lot different than, say, Jim Callis's opinion, what he may have on your farm system as well.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's there's a lot of differences between some of the reports, and you go over the top prospect list, and you differ from what your scouts' opinions are or from your own opinion. You like to see the players. We knew we were giving up a really talented player in Lorenzo Cain, and Escobar is an outstanding defender. We knew his bat was probably a little short, but Lorenzo was a tough one to give up there, but we also were getting a pitcher we were going to have at least for a year and a half. But it's different sometimes, Sparky, when you're making the trades. Are you making a trade to improve your ball club? I think the trades we made for Greinke were, we made the trades because we felt there was a window of opportunity when we made Greinke trades and Martin got Sean Markham, and that there's a window of opportunity to try to win and that. And I think at that particular time, that's what that trade was about. Hey, guys, if we wait, we're not going to get a pitcher of his caliber again. And then we got Markham also as part of, he came over and helped us earlier on in the year. But, you know, and then there's other trades you make just to make a trade to say, I think this trade makes us better now, you know. But those trades were opportunity trades that we had to make a decision. Do we want to take that chance? We did with the CC trade too, you know. And those are opportunities to say, I think if you remember, I did have a quote, I don't know whether people liked it or not, but I said, I think we're all in on this year for the younger players that we gave up. And the other part is I trusted our scouts and development people that for them to go find other players once you give up some young players, then it's their job to go find some players for the next few years.
You know, you talked a little bit about David Stearns. You talked a little bit about Craig Counsell and the job. They're doing it differently, though, with the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, they don't have, you know, four, three Cy Young guys that's going to be there in their starting rotation. I mean, he's almost coaching on feel of when to go get a guy, when to take a guy out. Maybe only go three innings. Just how difficult that is to do as far as a manager is concerned.
Well, as long as they're communicating together, which I know they do very well, I think that that can work. But if you have a difference of opinion, if one doesn't believe in the other, then it's not going to work. And that, but it's true, Gary. They are doing it a little bit differently than what I did. But that's right. Part of what the game is today. The game changes. All sports change, whether we like it or we don't like it. And that, you know, like I was from a manager standpoint. I think Craig and David are very on board with what's going on. They communicate every day. David's a hard worker. He's in the office all the time, and they go over. They understand the players and that, and Craig has the respect that he can sit down and tell a player, hey, your role might change, or he doesn't even have certain roles. Your job is to get outs. He talks about pitchers getting outs.
He does.
Your job is to get outs. It doesn't matter. You know, we may not ask you to get nine innings of outs. We're just going to tell you to get outs, and then we'll decide when the time has come and that. But it's worked for the last 2 years and that. So, but you're right. They're building what they've done. Probably the clubs that I have probably had a little more star talent at the time, but these teams today are built on depth, and they have depth. They'll go 45 players deep into the minor leagues over the course of the year, or claim waivers and make trades during the year and that. And sometimes we would maybe just go 35 players over the course of of season, but that's where the game has changed a lot too. There's a lot of change. The starting pitchers, you know, they don't go the nine innings anymore. They don't go eight innings or seven innings.
Right.
In that, but you know, I was looking. One thing is the game, the change in the game for me, the most that I struggle with is I'd like to see the ball put in play more, because I think when you have action, I don't think people will complain about the game being long.
Yes.
And I think if you have a three, I'm watching some of these, you know, we got enough time now. I'm watching all these old classic games, whether the NBA or NFL or baseball. But the game the other day was on in Detroit, and Minnesota had a one-game playoff. I think it was 2009. And that was an exciting game, went 12 or 13 innings. But the reason it was exciting was because the ball was put in play. There was action. There was guys thrown out at home plate. There was guys stealing bases. There was outfielders making great plays in that. And I was looking up the 2008 team that we won with the Sabathia team. We had six guys in our lineup struck out 100 times.
Oh, my God.
And in 1982, when the Yount-Molitor years, they had one guy struck out 100 times. That was Gorman Thomas. And we had six in our lineup in 2008. But in today's lineup, you'll see a lot of strikeouts. But
yep.
I think people will accept a three-hour game, three-hour, 15-minute game if there's action, if there's ball put in play, if the ball's moving, if runners are moving, if fielders are moving. And I think sometimes we look at the game and say we need to speed it up. But I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the game is slower, because when there's strikeouts like there is today, there's more pitches being thrown, there's more dead time.
I'm just going to cut that and send it straight to Commissioner Manfred, who keeps thinking that the pitch clock is going to change the style of game and make it a little bit quicker so millennials can digest it a little bit more. Doug Melvin joining us for a couple of more minutes, former Brewers general manager here on the Wendy's Big Show. Doug, you talked about the stars that you guys had on those teams. Ryan Braun, earlier on, before spring training got halted, mentioned a couple of different times that this could be the final year that he puts on a Brewers uniform. For you being there for the entirety of it in the different role you have now, what has Ryan Braun in your eyes meant to this organization?
Well, he was there when we started turning this thing around. He's a great performer. He's still performing, but early on years he was an outstanding performer, and I love going back and watching the highlights on him and that. But I remember when Jack Zirinczyk drafted him, the one thing he talked about, he said, Doug, he said, this guy can really run, too. He can run. I didn't see him as an amateur. I relied on Jack at the time when we drafted him. And that was a pretty good draft at the time. It was Zimmerman from Washington. It was Alex Gordon. It was Troy Tulowitzki. It was Ryan Braun. And I remember I called Troy Tulowitzki's agent and asked if he would move to third base if we drafted him, and he wouldn't do that. So we drafted Braun because Jack really did like Ryan Braun, and I think it was the right move. But Ryan was a great player, and I had some really good players in Texas with Pudge Rodriguez and Juan Gonzalez and Palmeiro, Will Clark, and in Baltimore, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken. But Ryan goes in probably my top five players that I've been associated with.
Now,
what he could do as an all-around player from running the bases, from hitting for power, hitting for average, and playing the game. And he had great instincts. He gets great instincts. You very seldom see Ryan Braun get thrown out at the bases.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember him getting thrown out. He had great instincts on the bases. But, you know, except for that little hiccup in his career, he's been an outstanding player.
Doug, you mentioned Giannis a few different times. People saw you as a mainstay at the old Bradley Center watching Bucks games. How much fun have you had watching the Milwaukee Bucks this year and the run they had?
Oh, yeah, they've been exciting to watch. I like following the NBA. In fact, I watched the other day, I was flipping channels, and I saw the Lou Alcindor game in his first year as a Bucks player, and he was playing against the Detroit Pistons, who I grew up watching. But I enjoyed watching that game the other day. But, no, the Bucks, you know, the Bucks are very similar to the Brewers, if you look at it. They do have a star player in Giannis. We have a star player in Yelich. They have great depth, in the same way David has built this team, with great depth. And the depth that the Bucks have had is far superior to any of the other teams. And when you play the game as hard as these guys do today, with the injuries that take place today, too, that's the thing that bothers me about all sports today. There's more injuries than ever, and I don't know why. But the depth has become very, very important. And the front office of the Bucks have done a great job building that depth. And I think beyond Giannis and Middleton and that, they have some great depth, and I think that's the reason why they've been as good as they've been. And they've not only just won games, they've dominated most of their games through the course of the year. And I sure hope we get back to playing. I think we all will get back to playing sports eventually, but their playoff run is going to be exciting again.
Doug, appreciate it. This has been so much fun. We appreciate the time. And as you said, during a trying time and a different time, we appreciate some stories that you were able to share. Just an incredible time of Brewers baseball that you brought us, and even some better stories right now. Appreciate the time today, Doug.
Well, I hope in a couple, 6 weeks or so, we can get within closer to 6 feet so we can shake hands and bring sports all back to the community.
Amen to that. Doug, be safe. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Doug.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Thanks a lot, Doug.
Doug Melvin, former Brewers general manager, joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Free. We're back after this on the Wendy's Big Show, but first it's time for the latest on the coronavirus pandemic from CBS News on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.